We are talking about something very important as far as this week's parsha goes. We referenced some of it in the Shir Menorah Cook earlier this week, and I want to try to put it together a little bit. As far as Chumash, so Parsh Mishpatim, it's the first time that we're really going to be encountering, in a very intense way, lots and lots of mitzvos. And the mitzvos seem to be mitzvos that refer specifically to civil law. Choshen Mishpat, Bavakama, Bavmetzia, Bavasra, the world of Nezikin. A lot of that dictating the kinds of interactions that we are supposed to have with in the society in which we live. Opens up with a discussion about Avadim, which is a longer conversation, but there's a lot of halachas here about what happens when people get into fights, how we determine what kind of behavior is appropriate and what kind of behavior is inappropriate. That's the world of Mishpatim. For many, the world of Mishpatim is an area of Torah that connects much more to our Seichel. It's an area of, the Baal Trey points out explicitly in a Sicha, where he elaborates on this point, that Parsh Mishpatim, that's that really, in a certain sense, first area of Chumash, where we encounter lots and lots of mitzvos, and lots of mitzvos that make a lot of sense, that we could have thought of in a certain sense on our own. In light of that, I want to try to talk about briefly, again, I apologize for some of the repetition from Wednesday, the different categories of mitzvos, our ability to understand the reasoning behind mitzvos, and in particular to understand a little bit why Chumash had to go out of its way to write all these dinim that are found in Parshas Mishpatim. In general, in the Rishonim, we divide up mitzvos into two different categories. Those mitzvos are mitzvos sichlios and mitzvos shimios. Those are mitzvos that are based on seichel, mitzvos that we could have understood on our own. And mitzvos shimios, those mitzvos that we needed revelation for. We needed the Ribbono Shel Olam to tell us about those mitzvos. In Chumash, it may not be the exact same category as we referenced, chukim and mishpatim. Chukim are those that we, chok is that which we can't understand, mishpatim, that is what we can understand. Do we have the ability, to what extent do we really have the ability to understand mitzvos in general? So many of us would probably point out that's a difference between chukim and mishpatim. The psukim, all the dinim in this week's parsha, we have the ability to understand. All the dinim that are chukim, shatnez, paraduma, and the like, we don't have the ability to understand. But if you look a little bit more in depth, one does find a bit of a machlokas about this, and that's a machlokas which is going to be important both when it comes to mitzvahs that we can't understand, and even when it comes to mitzvahs that we can understand. When it comes to those mitzvahs like para aduma that we can't understand, not the mishpatim, but the chukim, so there you find an interesting machlokas. It's interesting machlokas between, as we referenced earlier this week, again, I apologize for some of the repetition, between Psadi Gaon and the Rambam, and that has to do with whether or not we really can understand them. The Rambam understands in Mor Nevuchim that all mitzvos could be understood in the sense that all mitzvos really do have reasons. The difference between chukim and mishpatim is how obvious, how easy it is for us to discover those reasons. So parsh mishpatim, it's not that complex to figure out why many of those mitzvos are around. It's important why we don't steal. We understand the reasoning behind that. When it comes to chukim, those are much harder to understand, but the Rambam understands they also have reasons. They are just reasons that are going to be harder for us on our own to really fully grasp, but the Rambam Mor Nevuchim is going to still suggest reasons behind those. Rav Sadia Gaon, however, thinks that primarily, while all those mitzvot we can't understand may have some purpose, there may not necessarily be, at its core, inherent a real reason that generates it. It's possible that we are commanded to those mitzvot primarily to ensure that we get schar, and if we don't do them, we get onesh. Other mitzvahs are there for a svara, for a reason. They're able to dictate the way that we live our lives, v'chule. But there are many mitzvahs that aren't there, that we can't really understand. And those mitzvahs were there in order to really just get schar v'onesh. But what about those mitzvahs that we do understand? The world of Parshas Mishpatim. So when it comes to, again, so far we spoke about there are two categories of mitzvahs. Chukim, Mishpatim, Sichli, Shumios, and we spoke about those that are based on revelation, those that are more chukim, can we really understand them / do they really have a reason? Do they really have a reason? And now let's focus a little bit on mishpatim. L'cha'ora, the definition of mishpatim, is something which we can understand. It's something which, in one category of mitzvah, we have the ability to understand. Had it even been, if there was no chumash, we still would have come up with many of these dinim. The Maharal and Gor Aryeh, Benny pointed out to me in Parshas Ves Chanan, in Perek Hei, Pasuk Vav, Maral distinguishes between four different kinds of mitzvos, but one of the things he writes about the mishpatim, he writes that those dinim shekol mishpatim yidum etzleinu af ki lo nasan lanu. We would still know about those even if no one told it to us. We would know that priyas balchov mitzvah, the Gemara in Ksupas Daf Pei Vav, if you borrow money from someone, you have to pay him back. we would know that even without a tzivoy, even without a pasuk, which raises a very important question. Well, wait a minute. I understand why those mitzvos that we couldn't have understood, why the chukim have to be written in Chumash, because otherwise I wouldn't have known them. But the whole parsha, that opening section of Mishpatim, if I would have known those mitzvos anyway, so why does Chumash have to write them? What's the importance of teaching us them? What's really going on here? I'll share with you three potential mahalchim. Mahalach number one is to suggest, and this you have in a tshuva of the Rashba, Reb Levi Yitzchak and Nekushas Levi in the beginning of Parshas Chukas write similarly, that maybe all mitzvos really have reasons we can't understand. Whereas the Rambam said we can understand theoretically about all mitzvos, Nekushas Levi says really the opposite. Even things that are mishpatim, there's not a single mitzvah that we can really understand at its deepest level. You really can't do it. That's why he says Parshas Chukas, Zos Chukas HaTorah, because all of Torah is really like a chok. All of Torah you can't really understand. In which case, why did Torah have to write it for us? Because otherwise, we really wouldn't have been able to get the whole picture. Along those lines, some suggest a second model, and that relates to the details. It's one thing to know that there are general klalim that we could have thought of on our own. Geneva, we would have known that Geneva is considered to be, is Asar. But a lot of the details of Geneva, that's what we need revelation for. That's what we need Chumash for. So questions about what's called Geneva. Is Geneva amanas lemekat? Stealing in order to give back, is that called Geneva or not? What exactly is the precise hagdara of a Geneva and of a gazela? How much I pay back if I stole? When do I have to return? Veheshev is hagazela. When does that apply? When doesn't that apply? Yeyas, shinrei kona. So many of the details, that's why you have to write it down. There is a third mahalach as to why the mishpatim have to be written down. I don't get it. Again, the question being, I understand with those mitzvahs that are chukim, why Chumash has to teach it to us. But the mishpatim, this week's parsha, why is it so significant? Why do we have to learn it? So the first is because maybe even those we couldn't really understand. The second is to teach us about the details. The third is a mahalach that the Maharal has in the Chedushi Agados. It's a Maharal in the Chedushi Agados. It's quoted here in the footnotes on that Gur Aryeh. The Maharal is in the Chedushi Agados to Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Amud Beis. The Rav had it. And they quote in the Rav Chumash, the beginning part of Mishpatim, the same idea. It relates to a very famous comment of the Bar Tanura, and that's the following. Had we not written them down, we would have thought that the only reason why it's problematic to steal is because logic dictates such. It's also to steal because that will ensure that society breaks down. There's going to be utter and complete chaos. So you can make the mistake of thinking that if you steal, all you've done is going against that logic in a certain sense. All you've done is you've broken down society. The reason why Chumash states it is to teach us that when a person steals, they haven't just broken down, they haven't just taken something away from society, they haven't just increased a certain kind of chaos. It's also a religious iser. It's also going against the tzivoy of Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't only command us in things that are like ben adam l'makom, dictating what we do as far as a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, ben adam l'chaveiro, which is a way of ensuring that there isn't chaos. Those things are also religious issues. Those things are also isurim that are found in. Those are real serious isurim also, even in the realm of Din Mamonos. That's why, as an example, the Bar Tanur writes very famously in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai Masar LeYoshua, Yeshua Zakenim. Why is the beginning of Pirkei Avos open up with the Mesorah? Why not open up Brachos with the Mesorah as the first Mesechta? Why open up Pirkei Avos, says the Bar Tanura? Because I could have thought that Pirkei Avos was just Stam Svavra Ba'alma. I could have thought that Pirkei Avos wasn't really coming from the same place. And therefore we open up by saying, Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai, that the way that we interact with others, that is also Misinai. That's also something which Ribbono Shel Olam, we have Mesorah about. And again, when we violate them, we're not just breaking that society, terrible and egregious as that is, but we're actually really having we're violating Yisurim. It's religious law also. There are those who suggest that's Pshat in the Rashi, again, this week's Parsha. Ve'ela Mishpatim, Vav is Mosif al Harishonim. Ma'elu Misinai, that just like there were dibbers at Har Sinai, these are also Misinai. Why would I have thought these aren't from Sinai? Why the need for Rashi to emphasize, based on the Diyuk and the Pasuk, that these halachas and Mishpatim are also from Har Sinai? And the answer is the same Yesod. That Mishpatim, I could have thought, it's obvious. I thought of it on my own. The only purpose, the only reason behind it is because of what the Seichel's Mechayev, of establishing order. But no, those are also from Sinai. The way we interact with others is not just those things we can think of on our own. It's not just important because it establishes society, it's a religious idea also. different kinds of mitzvos. Some mitzvos we can understand, mitzvos we can't understand. Machlokes from the Gemara. Darshin chinam daim time of the Quran, not darshin time of the Quran. We try to explain within each category of mitzvos. Mitzvos we can't understand, the chukim. Well, do we have the ability? Is there really a reason there? Should we try to get it? Rambam Sadiq own. Within those mitzvos we can understand, why do you have to write it down? Either for the details or because of the limitations of our own understanding. Kushus Levi, Chubus Arashba. And the third mahalach is because those things are also Isurim. Shkar, guys, have a great night.